Okay. So good relationships with other people is something that's very important to us. As human beings, we are very much social creatures. We don't live in isolation, we live together. We help each other, we support each other. Sometimes scientists say that the species that survive are the ones that are the most competitive. You know, the survival of the fittest kind of doctrine. However, when His Holiness the Dalai Lama has met with some scientists, His Holiness has questioned that. And he thinks that it's the species that cooperate most with each other that survive. And he often talks about the ants and the bees, you know, the little insects, and how much they help each other. And it's fascinating sometimes to watch the ants when they're walking along, how much they communicate, how much they work together, how one ant will carry something many times its own body weight, a very far distance, for the good of the entire anthill. If we watch how the ants work, how much they cooperate, and how much they go out of their way to do difficult things for the good of the whole ant colony. And I think that's very inspiring. I mean, we might look down on ants as dumb creatures, but actually they work very, very well together, sometimes better than we human beings, actually, don't they? Okay. So this attitude that works for the benefit of the group, yeah, is a very important attitude. This mind that has love and compassion for everybody with whom we're interrelated is very, very important. Because that's what enables us to survive as individuals and as a species. Because if we look around us, everything we have came due to the kindness of others. Did anybody here happen to grow the food they ate today? Singapore, there's no place to grow anything, is there? Yeah. The food all came because other people grew it, then they packed it, then they transported it, then people worked in markets and sold it to us. Yeah. Just our ability to eat today came due to the kindness of so many other beings who worked bringing the food to us. Yeah? Same with our clothes. Yeah? We didn't grow the cotton. Yeah? We didn't build this hall that we're sitting in, although maybe some of you were involved in building it. Then we have to say thank you very much for making this beautiful hall. But you see how interdependent we are, how everything we enjoy doesn't come just from ourselves. It comes due to the interrelationship with others, due to the kindness of others. So therefore, our relationships with others are very important, you know, for our own happiness, for the happiness of everybody. So in order to improve our relationships, we have to have this big mind that takes care of everybody instead of the little mind that just takes care of me. Because the mind that takes care of me, that is self-centered and self-focused, actually becomes the thing that contributes to our misery. No. We often think, if I don't take care of myself, nobody else will take care of me. But on the other hand, if we only take care of ourselves, nobody else is going to like us. Because the mind that just is self-centered, by placing so much emphasis on me, makes us very sensitive to everything everybody else does. Because we're filtering everything through this filter of me. And so we pay special attention to it, and therefore we exaggerate things. We misinterpret things because we're only thinking about how they relate to ourselves. A very good example here. Let's say there's another person sitting here next to me, and somebody comes up and starts criticizing that person. Yeah? And I watch my friend get very angry because somebody's criticizing him. And I say to my friend, look, don't worry about it. You know, that person is in a bad mood, or they don't know what they're talking about, or they're exaggerating it. You don't need to take it personally. Yeah? And I try and console my friend because it seems to me that, you know, they really don't need to make such a big deal out of what the other person is saying. Okay. But if that same person says the exact same words, but instead of looking at my friend, they look at me, you can't say that. You know, what are you doing criticizing me? That's not true. I get angry. I get upset. Isn't it? Yeah? I mean, when your friend's upset, you can say, it's no big deal, relax. But when the same thing happens to you, it's like, you know, this isn't fair. I gotta show the world, you know, who's boss. This can't happen. Okay. Now, what's the difference? Because it's the same words that are being said. How come I get mad when they're directed at me, but I don't get mad when they're directed at somebody else? Okay. The only difference is that I cherish myself more than I cherish the other. Yeah. I'm more selfish, I care more about myself in an unhealthy way than I do about the other person. And so that constant emphasis on the self actually makes me more unhappy. If I were able to take the criticism the same way I can take it when it's delivered to somebody else, then I'm going to be okay. Do you see what I mean? Yeah? So that's what I mean when I say that this self-centered attitude actually causes us a great deal of misery, whereas the mind that seeks the happiness of everybody in the situation, both ourselves and others, is a mind that's less egotistic, less personally self-sensitive, and much smoother, much more gracious. So what are some practical ways to improve our relationships with others? Well, one way is to stop harming them. Yeah, sounds simple. Yeah. In fact, our parents were teaching us that in kindergarten. Yeah, when we were like, you know, primary one, they would say, you know, don't throw things at other people. Yeah, and share your things. Of course, we're adults, we still have a hard time following that advice. Yet we still tell our primary one kids that they should do it. Yeah. There's a book out called Everything Important in Life I Learned in Kindergarten. Yeah. I think there's some truth to that. Yeah. Share your toys. Don't throw sand in other kids' eyes. Things like this. Okay, so the attitude of non-harmfulness, the ethical discipline that abandons harm, very quickly improves our relationships, because we can see that what damages our relationships are when we harm others physically, okay, when we take their property, you know, when we cheat them in business, when we take their things and think that they're ours. Yeah, our relationships disintegrate when we use our sexuality unwisely and have multiple partners outside of a committed relationship. Our relationships disintegrate when we lie, when we use divisive words, when we speak harshly to others, when we gossip. Yeah. Our relationships disintegrate when we covet other people's things or think wrong, malicious thoughts about them, or have a lot of wrong views. So those things that I just mentioned actually form what in Buddhism is called the 10 destructive actions. Now, from killing, stealing, and my sexual behavior, and so on. And these are things that we can see when we look at our own experience. If we get involved in them, our relationships fall apart. And also, when we do these actions, also, if we look carefully, it usually comes from a very selfish attitude, thinking about me and my pleasure. So right off the bat, we can see that, you know, a lack of ethical discipline, a lack of morality, harms our relationships. So conversely, when we have a good sense of ethical discipline, good morality, it improves our relationships. Okay? This is why in Buddhism, we often take precepts to abandon harming others physically and to protect life, to abandon stealing things and to protect others' property, to abandon unwise sexual behavior and to use sexuality wisely and kindly, to abandon lying and harsh speech and to use our speech also wisely and kindly. And then the fifth precept is to avoid intoxicants, because when we take intoxicants, then we're likely to do the other four. Yeah, because the mind gets out of control. Okay, so, you know, this basic morality, if we really try to follow it, we will definitely see improvements in our relationships. It was very interesting. Years ago, when I lived in Singapore, I went to Singapore Poly and led a discussion with the Buddhist group, you know, the youth group there. And I asked them, what are qualities of a good friend? Yeah. What qualities do you look for in a good friend? And what qualities do you think you need to develop in order to be a good friend? And we went around in a circle. Yeah, I just asked those two questions to them, okay? I didn't say anything about morality or ethics. I just asked what makes a good friend. But when the students went around and they started to talk about what they look for, qualities they look for in friends, it came out, I want a friend I can trust, somebody who won't lie to me. That's one of the harmful actions, you know, that we want to abandon, isn't it? Another student said, you know, I want a friend who, even if I make a mistake, won't speak harshly to me, but will try and help me. Yeah. Or, and another one said, I look for qualities in friends, people who won't be jealous of my success and who will rejoice with me. So people who don't think malicious thoughts. So it was very interesting, as we went around and the students shared their ideas, what they actually said turned out to be abandon the 10 destructive actions. Yeah. And this is what they came to on their own as qualities that they look for in friends. Another thing that will help our relationships with people are basic human manners. Okay, again, this is something our parents taught us when we were this big. But when I look around, very often, because I've spent a lot of time living in community with other people, one of the things that I see often creates friction among people is when people don't have good manners. And I'm not talking about acting, you know, kind of some false, stiff, contrived way. I'm just talking about basic being nice to people, saying please, saying thank you, you know, doing small little things to people, not slamming doors, not dumping our anger out on them. You know, just basic human manners. But if you look sometimes in families, look in your own family. Are you ruder to your family members or to strangers? Yeah. When it comes to saying please and thank you, or appreciating what somebody does for you, are you more likely to, you know, use kind speech and say thank you and show appreciation if it's a stranger or if it's somebody you live with every day? What do you think? Do you ever, would you ever treat a stranger the way you treat the people you love the most? Would you ever say to a stranger what you say to a family member when you're angry? Some people look embarrassed. It's true, isn't it? Sometimes, I mean, what we would never, ever act to a stranger the way we do with our family. It's absolutely amazing. Now, somehow, with our family, we feel like there's so much a part of us that we don't need to take care of the relationship so much. You know, they're my family, they love me, they're stuck with me my whole life, you know, so it doesn't kind of really matter how I act because they're always going to be there. You know? So we're in a bad mood, we don't try and be nice. We're in a bad mood, we just come down to breakfast and we go, oh, hi. You know? Yeah, you take out the garbage, I've taken it out. You know, you pick up the stuff off the floor. Why don't you do this? You know, I mean, we're like so nasty to our family. And we would never talk to strangers that way. Never. But with our family, we take them for granted. And like I said, we feel there's so much a part of ourselves that we don't need to be polite to them. But I think that's wrong. And if we try, you know, just try a little bit, using basic human manners and saying please, saying thank you, speaking in a nice tone of voice, it makes an incredible difference. Incredible difference. Okay, some homework for you. Yeah, people know me already. When they come to my teachings, they always get homework assignments. Okay, your homework assignment for the next week, yeah, for 1 week, try to be nice and use good manners with your family. Okay, just 1 week, not too long. Yeah. If it's too long, try 1 day. Yeah. But just try it and see if it changes your relationship with your family. Now, those of you who are here with family members, you should not be poking them now and saying, listen to her. You know, we should all be looking inside and taking this advice ourselves. Okay. But try it, and then you can report back to me and let me know what happened. I mean, it's very funny. Sometimes when people come to Buddhist retreats and, you know, they come and they really like Buddhism, and then they come to me and they say, you know, well, my family isn't that interested in Buddhism, or they aren't Buddhists themselves. How can I get them interested in Buddhism? And I tell them to go home and take out the garbage. They kind of look at me, and I say, think of it this way, you know. You go home, you have a meal with your parents, you take out the garbage. Your mother stands there and goes, 40 years, and this is the first time my son has taken out the garbage. Buddhism is good. Yeah? She starts to think, wow, what happened to him? Yeah? So very simple actions like this, small things of showing consideration and thoughtfulness for family members can go a long way in improving the relationship with them. Yeah, long way. Yeah, so another homework assignment. Try doing a chore at home that usually you don't like to do and hope another family member will do. Okay? Yeah, you know, the ones that you're always too busy to do, and you just kind of leave, and then you nag your husband or wife or parents or kids to do it. You know, and then they, of course, don't want to do it, so they quarrel back. Yeah. Then you have a big family fight about taking out the garbage or, you know, doing the laundry or buying peanut butter, or, you know, one of these major issues in our life. Yeah. But try. Yeah, just try. Just experiment, not too difficult. Try doing one or two of those chores. Not complaining. Not pointing out to your family, did you see what I did? Aren't you proud of me? Yeah. They have eyes, they'll see. Yeah. But try doing it and see if that doesn't improve your relationship with your family. You know, if your parents are always bugging you to clean up your room, try cleaning it up sometime before they ask. You might find that you're actually a lot happier too. Because then you don't have to listen to them say all these things that you don't like to hear and they don't like to say. And also, when you clean up your room, it's easier to find things. Yeah. So there's like, it's incredible sometimes how small, small things can make huge differences in relationships. Mm-hmm. Especially among the people we live with and the people we're close to. Small things of being inconsiderate, of being considerate, oops, can go a long way. Okay? So basic human manners as a way to help improve our relationships.